remind all that exceptionally today there will not be our customary reception after this 12:30 Mass in order to give our dedicated volunteers some time for rest. They have been working so hard these past few weeks. Thank you for your understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear faithful, the sacred liturgy for the feast of our Lord's Nativity, Christmas, and its accompanying octave, these 8 days which we are now in, resounds in its glory, and in particular, the readings for this Sunday, the octave of the Nativity, contains for us an important pedagogy. It teaches us. This is always the case with the liturgy. Its principal end is the glorification of God. Its secondary end is the stirring of devotion in our hearts and our instruction in the faith. The morning after midnight Mass, after having attended, many might wake up in the morning of Christmas Day and with dark circles underneath their eyes and their head aching, ask themselves, is it really necessary that midnight Mass be at 12 a.m., midnight? Couldn't it be a little bit earlier, 9 p.m.? Would 7 o'clock be a scandal? But Holy Mother Church does not put midnight Mass at midnight to torture you, dear faithful. There is always our religious lesson being imparted. It was, in fact, at midnight that the Lord delivered the Jews out of bondage from Egypt by sending the destroying angel over the land. So was it also that our Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of great counsel, as the prophet Isaiah refers to him, came down from the royal throne of heaven and brought mercy to the earth. As we hear in the introit today from the Book of Wisdom, when all things were in quiet silence and the night was in the midst of her course, thy almighty word, O Lord, came down from thy royal throne. The collect of this Mass prays that we would always be directed by the divine commandments, those taught us by our Savior, who is likened to the Son. He is called the Son of Justice, having given us his light so that we would know and do the good works which are possible for us. Have you thought of which good works you will take up in the new year? Now is the time to seriously reflect on the question. It often happens that those who need our help the most are our neighbors, our family members, our friends, those with whom we come into contact every day, but our lack of consideration and our blindness prevents us from seeing it. The epistle of today's Mass, from St. Paul to the Galatians, reminds us of this capital truth of our religion. We are God's adopted children. St. Paul says that Christ came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ has truly made us his brethren in assuming our human nature, and God is truly his Father. Consequently, our baptism has given us the right to address God as our Father, and that's why our Lord taught us to speak to him thus. Because God has adopted us as his own children in Christ. God now has not only one son, but many. As a result, when we stand before him, we do not go to him merely as creatures drawn out of nothing by his almighty power, but children whom he dearly loves and whose requests he is eager to grant. Heaven has been made not only the throne of God's majesty, it has become our inheritance. We are joint heirs to it with Christ, the firstborn among us, his brothers. We see today as well that the ordering of our Lord's earthly life towards his redemptive mission of the cross began from the first moments of his existence as man. Today, the Holy Family goes up to the temple and hears from the elderly Simeon these foreboding words, "And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed." Imagine the terrible turn of emotions for our Blessed Mother. She had just begun to delight in the presence of her Son, sent from heaven. And now, here in the words of Simeon, her heart already begins to feel the first thrust of the sword, which will one day pierce it through. Indeed, the mystery of man's adoption by God would one day cost the life of his only begotten Son. But we that have been redeemed in his blood are not, during this Christmas octave, to dwell just yet on the fatigues and the sufferings of our Lord. That will come. But for the present moment, Holy Mother Church bids us think of him only as the sweet Son of Mary, born at Bethlehem, the source of all our happiness. When we receive him, therefore, in Holy Communion today and all throughout this octave, let us receive him as the Son of Mary, as the infant king. He's the infant king who suffered from the very beginning of his life because of the hardness of man's heart, because of the hardness of our hearts. Christ was not afforded the luxury of being born in a home amidst the loving presence of many relatives in a proper crib with blankets. He was born in a stable with only the breath of animals, of an ox and an ass, to warm him. As had also been prophesied by Isaiah, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel hath not known one." And yet it is not the poverty of our Lord's birth which is displeasing in the sight of God, but sin, for which he sent his Son into this world to vanquish. Sin in our souls, hardening them. Behold the true object of scandal before the Lord. If we are given the joy of celebrating our Lord's birth for 8 full days, that we remember his example of having come to us under the most humble of circumstances. In the new year to come, indeed every year, imitate above all the humility of our Lord, and you will find that you no longer have to kick and pound and push so hard against the door to all the other virtues, for you will already have the key. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.